You are listening to a Triple Canopy podcast. To hear more, visit www.canopycanopycanopy.com.
For Triple Canopy, I'm Ben Tausig. You're listening to Bangkok is Ringing. In Bangkok, no one is more exposed than motorcycle taxi drivers. Weaving through gridlock laden with passengers, stacks of ice bags, or perhaps even cages of live chickens. A veritable army of these hired moto-size keep the city's local commerce humming. But in doing so, their lungs come into intimate contact with exhaust fumes all day, and their bodies are dangerously unprotected in the event of a crash. With motorcycles involved in more than two-thirds of Thailand's 90,000 annual traffic accidents, moto-size face a serious risk every day. Moto-size are also exposed to an incredible amount of sound. The 80 or 90 decibel levels often cited in urban noise pollution reports are typically measured at the loudest places, like busy street corners, precisely where moto-size spend their long working days. Their ears bear the deep rumbling of bus wheels on concrete, as well as the ear-splitting squeak of air brakes, not to mention the choppy voices of their own engines. Meanwhile, moto-size hear not only noise, but also rumor, gossip, and political chatter. They know the latest about everyone on the block, and are famous as sources of information. The fire department enlists many of them as volunteers, since they are often among the first to know when a blaze breaks out. This year, Bangkok's Internal Security Service even began recruiting moto-size to report criminal activity. So strong is their reputation as the most sensitive ears on the street. Recently, I spent a full day at a Bangkok motorcycle taxi stand, called a Wien, to get a sense of what the city sounded like from its vantage. I arrived before sunup and left around sundown, chatting with the drivers and documenting their sonic environment during every point in the day. I was introduced to this particular group, a relatively small collective stationed in a downtown business district adjacent to a major road, by a fellow PhD student named Claudio Sopranzetti, who studies moto-size for his anthropology dissertation at Harvard. According to Claudio, who rides a motorcycle himself, the job is not only loud and dangerous, but is a stark contrast with life in the provinces, where almost all of the drivers come from.
Yeah. I think, I mean, it's part of the unhealthy nature of this job. You know, I mean, someone was telling me some months ago, so, you know, motorcycle taxi guy was telling me, you know, motorcycle taxi don't live very long. You know, it's very hard to find someone that live like past 70. To say, you know, exposed to noise, exposed to pollution every day for 12, 13, 14 hours. And I think that also plays a role in, you know, sound-wise. When I go back to the countryside, I speak a lot about sound and about the quiet, very quiet. Because their life in the city is exposed to this, you know, decibel over decibel over decibel.
The Motosais I spoke with tended to speak Isan, a regional dialect that's similar enough to Central Thai to be understood by Bangkokians, but different enough to give the group's conversation a distinct character. R sounds are replaced by H's, and the language is shot through with distinctive idioms, not otherwise encountered much here. For the Motosais, speaking Isan is a crucial part of their diaspora. In the afternoon, a French tourist came through and attempted to negotiate an unusually low fare while speaking in English. Motosais, who usually speak little or no English, often give discounts to Thai speakers, even if they're foreign. If the conversation is in English, however, they're very unlikely to budge. But this tourist named a price that wouldn't even be granted to a Thai speaker, assuming meanwhile that the drivers were exaggerating the distance to her destination. They weren't, but she eventually decided to walk.
But it's a long way. Do you want to walk?
Well, yes, I can walk because after I must go back, I just go here near the ambassade.
All right. It's a quite a long walk. You have to go down this way.
This way?
Yeah, and then you arrive. You have to cross on that side. You arrive.
This, which side? This side?
You're going in that direction.
Yes,
basically.
Yes, but yes. This
so,
direction.
So you go straight, and then you turn right.
On the right.
On the right, this way.
On the right. Yeah, on the right, yes.
Quite, yeah, it's about 4 kilometers from here.
No, but it's 4 kilometers. I can try.
Yeah, no, I mean, up to you, but...
Yes, I try. Yeah. Thank you very much. If I can't, I take some...
Captain. Captain. Come on, can see kilo. No, my life.
There is also a strong gender politics to interactions like this one. Only about 5% of the Motosais in Bangkok are female, and the conversation in the weens often revolves around conventional young male-bonding topics like Premier League soccer, pulp comics, and Japanese pornography. Claudio describes Motosais as having something of a reputation to maintain.
And there's also a gender issue, you know, issue of... Because very... I mean, if you see, a lot of their clients are actually women. And the motorcycle taxi are perceived as this over-sexualized male from the countryside.
Right.
So there's quite a lot of that going on. And to be honest, they play the part quite well.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a self-producing stereotype.
Right.
This particular group was small and tight-knit and knew their corner well. As the day went on, others with street-level jobs passed through, trading news and gossip with the Motosais. In the morning, some of the drivers sat down with a coffee lady, who poured them sweet iced coffee filtered through a sock. Later in the day, a man came by with a bag of amulets, which the Motosais used to ward off traffic accidents. The group sat and talked with him for over an hour while there was a lull in fares. The intimate talk here contrasts with the sterile office tower environment all around. As it happens, many of the street workers once lived in these same neighborhoods, to which they now make long commutes. Several years ago, areas like this one were largely residential. But when developers replaced modest homes with tall, expensive condos, the street merchants moved out into Bangkok's growing sprawl and commuted back to their former neighborhood, where they still had friends and employment connections, and where plenty of new residents needed their services. Some of the workers now commute as long as 2 hours. Listening to the sound of the street, we can hear how human relationships often outlast urban architectural transformations. The rhythms of the day were less than linear. During rush hour, when almost every driver had a fare, the corner was at its quietest. And during lulls in business, the drivers entered into loud conversations, listened to music, or gambled on dominoes. The wind was often liveliest at these times. The motorcycles were reluctant to answer many questions early in the morning, perhaps because when we arrived at 5 a.m., everyone was still half asleep. But in the afternoon, many of them wanted to put on my headphones and listen to what was being recorded. There's the sound of a car running. That's people talking.
Not so much, man.
The sound is very loud. The drivers had gotten so used to working amid the din that they were surprised to hear how loud their own lives were. Thank you for listening to Bangkok is Ringing.
Đã rơi vào đặc điểm và các gì.